of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all peoples see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. These are the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I may wander around a little bit today, so I want to be prepared for that. The Lord has kind of changed this morning. I have a nice 15 to 20 minute sermon, but the Lord's word to me as I was coming out in this direction today was love your church. Love your church. So I sat down with two little girls at Mount Carmel, and I loved my church as I taught those two little girls about the Trinity. And we talked about how confusing things can be in this world. And sometimes putting words to them does not help. But the Trinity means that God shows up for us in three ways. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You know, I tend to lean into the idea of God as a whole and not specify God the Father, except in the Lord's Prayer, of course. And sometimes I will speak specifically about Jesus and lean into Jesus, the Son of God. But I don't know that I've ever seen or read a prayer to the Holy Spirit, who is also God. And you know, we're allowed to do that, right? We are allowed to pray to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us, is not the only Holy Spirit. There's Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, for one thing. But the Holy Spirit is still so much bigger than us that it's my little light. This little light of mine, the Holy Spirit in me, I'm going to let it shine. And that light, that flame, can always be strengthened by more of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So I want people to know that we receive a lot of things from the Holy Spirit. The topic of the sermon today is the grace of the Holy Spirit. You know what grace is, right? Grace is when we receive those things that we do not deserve. And we do not deserve the Holy Spirit. No matter how holy we may view ourselves to be, and no matter how holy we attempt to make our lives, we still do not deserve the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And yet that Holy Spirit was given to us for so many things. And just off the top of my head, I've got a whole list of them. Comfort, peace, guidance, insight into what truth is, a guidance and leadership that carries us from the ways of the evil, that draws us out of it, that strengthens us, empowers us for the work that God may give us to do. And so many more. So many more.
You know, there's a difference between the way the Holy Spirit was present for us in the Old Testament. And that means not only us as human beings in general, but specifically for the children of God in the Old Testament. There was a difference in the way God was present for them and the way God is present for us. Different for us because of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people. Even came upon Saul, the first king of the Israelites. Came upon him so that he prophesied among the prophets from the school of prophets. Even though he wasn't a king, the Holy Spirit had touched him powerfully. And the Holy Spirit, and I know we always want to think of our Gospels as being New Testament. I understand that. There's a reason for that. But even Jesus was an Old Testament man through most of his life. And when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him, came upon him with power. Power. What did he do? What did the Holy Spirit do with Jesus that day? He drove him into the wilderness. Drove him into the wilderness for refinement, for 40 days of suffering. And then to be tested by Satan. Tested in the same kinds of ways that you or I might be tempted. Deeply. But Jesus, his life was also deeply planted in the law of God. Deeply. Read that story sometime in your scriptures along with the book of Deuteronomy and see the connection between the book of Deuteronomy and our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a righteous man according to the book of the law, the Torah, while he was upon this earth. Obedient to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, Jesus walked upon this earth, a perfect man. In fact, he is the only one who is deserving of the Holy Spirit, not us. But Jesus came. Jesus was given to us by God. God the Father gave Jesus to us. Gave Jesus to us so completely that Jesus was in the hands of humankind throughout his life. What a gift. He belonged to us. And obedient to the Father to the end. To bow beneath the burden of sin from all times past, present, and future, to carry it in his body to the cross. For it to be nailed there and for him to die beneath the weight. That's the gift that God gave to us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. To carry our sins away. And then after Jesus' resurrection, this is where the Holy Spirit becomes active in a brand new way. And we start moving into the new covenant that Jesus told his disciples about at the Last Supper. Jesus was carried to heaven by the Holy Spirit, and he sent from heaven the Holy Spirit to be with us, to dwell in us, to be one with us. So we have the Holy Spirit in an entirely different kind of way than what was present in the Old Testament. We see a complete change in humankind and in our hope and in the future of humankind that began when Jesus was born according to the calendar. That was the aim of putting the year zero, if you will, or the year one at the very beginning of AD, the year of our Lord. Was because Jesus changed everything. No longer was God a far away, distant God from us that we cannot reach, but we bow down and we pray and we lay our requests before Him and we strive to be acceptable in His sight. Or at least some did. Some used the law. But some did. And the prophets of the Old Testament that God came upon in the Holy Spirit, they knew that there was a future that was going to bring a Messiah. In fact, the prophets actually tell of two. They tell of the first coming and the second coming. The prophets knew from the Holy Spirit that God had a plan for this world, for the people who live in this world. There is nothing that we should not be able to take hold of from God with the Holy Spirit inside of us. The challenge becomes that we live in a world where there are not many people who are connecting with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to become part of their lives. You know, it was after Jesus' resurrection, after the Holy Spirit was within Him, that He was opening the Scriptures to the disciples. He had told them things all during His ministry. But He opened the Scriptures to His disciples so that they could see the things He had told them, what they meant. They recognized the things that He was doing by virtue of the things that He had done in the past with the Holy Spirit, like the feeding of the 5,000. And they recognized it. I go through practices and gestures when we hold Holy Communion that are intended to sort of call to mind the things of Jesus and the offering of the bread to the Father in thanksgiving was so familiar to those disciples who were with Him that they recognized Him. They recognized Him as He broke the bread before He disappeared. And that's how strong the Holy Spirit is. It gives us a gift of clarity and understanding, aha moments, where we come closer to the Lord and we see with eyes that are not physical eyes, not our own eyes. We think with thoughts that are not our own thoughts. Because the Holy Spirit is putting them inside of us, bringing us to them. Praise the Lord. There was a time in my life when I was not particularly following the Lord. My life had been full of disappointments, had been full of pain and sorrow and heartache from the very people who should have been caring for me, even Christian people. And I did not trust anyone. I could not find anyone that I could decide was a safe place for me to give my trust into. And this is what happens in that position. You either completely rebel, which I didn't, praise the Lord, or you decide that the only place that you can trust is here. This one. Is that a safe thing? Absolutely not. I look out into our world and I think about the grace that I have because of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus did, life, death, and resurrection. What God loved me so much for, that God was willing to give His one and only Son to me and for me. And I finally realized that I had to give God a chance. That's a huge step. But we look out into our world today and how many young people are in that position. I have two granddaughters, and I watch those grandchildren floating back and forth between Mom's house and Dad's house and Grandma's on this side and Grandma's on this side house and Grandpa's house from time to time. And the only place they got anything about the Lord was Grandpa's house. My husband's house.
It's the only place. And they still don't follow the Lord.
How many disappointments, how much pain can our young people have and go to that point where they don't trust anything or anyone? Where they test the people in their lives. They test us to find out whether or not we are trustworthy. And the moments they spend with us, if we fail, if we disappoint, they do not trust us any longer. We have failed them. And who among us is going to be able to love so completely and utterly and correctly a young person in our life so that we will never fail them? We will never cause them pain. There's not a one of us. We're broken. We're human, after all. We fight a constant battle with sin. And sin is in the world, which also impacts us. Impacts us to this degree, and it's frightening when it comes to our children, because clinging to the Holy Spirit, to faith and trust in God, and walking in the ways that God leads us is extremely difficult. Because we live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with things that have nothing to do with God. Nothing. From a world that does not give thanks to God. And it drags us and pulls at us, and it is a constant battle. And how much worse for our children, who are in the same situation. Some of them not having the Lord, not even having access to the Lord, to ever find a way past the disappointment and pain that they have experienced in their lives, and it's many of them. Praise God that it's not all of them. It's many of them. Who only trust themselves when they need to be trusting God. So this is what I discovered as I was going through this pattern in my life, this journey of time that was a dark time for me, that I believed in the Lord. I did things that were righteous things, but I knew that there were mistakes in the midst of that. There was error. There was sin in the midst of that. And I was crying out. I was really crying out, longing for God in my life, longing for a Savior, longing for an answer to my life. And this is what happened. I would pray, and the Holy Spirit would put someone right there who was an answer to that prayer. I would experience moments of fear and anxiety when the Holy Spirit would fill me with empowerment. And suddenly I would feel like the problem wasn't nearly as big as I had made it out to be, and that I would be okay. I experienced moments when the things that were going on around me filled me with light and joy. And I went through moments when the Holy Spirit gave me peace that passes understanding. I was sitting in my driveway one day after a really difficult day at work, having lived in that particular neighborhood and seen across the road from me over and over and over again. You know how it gets to the point where you don't even really pay attention to what's going on, what's over there, right? Not even the change of the seasons, because it's just every day and you take it for granted. And I looked up and I saw beauty where there was no reason for beauty to even be. But the Holy Spirit gave light and eyes into that moment, and I was lifted by the beauty of our Lord. I finally realized that these were extremely special moments, and I seemed to be having quite a few of them from time to time, and I had really no idea of why or any understanding of why I would be experiencing the way that I did, and it occurred to me that had to be from the Holy Spirit. It had to be from the Holy Spirit. And they were so good. Those moments were so good that I knew I wanted more of them. And I started paying attention to what I was doing when they happened. And it became kind of amazing how often my mind was already kind of turning on to the faith issues in my life. And I began to follow that. And it sealed and healed a breach in my life with the Lord because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God was pouring into my life. And they are so good. So we had read for us today from chapter 17 of John. Do you know what chapter 17 of John is? It occurs during the time when Jesus is having his last supper with the disciples. And Jesus is praying, and the chapter is called the Priestly Prayer, John 17, the Priestly Prayer, the entire chapter. And Jesus spends the time during that moment in his time with the disciples before he goes to die to pray. And he prays many things, but among them the specific ones that kind of stand out are that he was praying for unity. Unity between God the Father himself as God the Son and the Holy Spirit with the people that would follow and believe in him. That there would be unity one with the other. And it's a confusing passage. It's hard to read and make sense of, but this is the substance of what he was praying. The Holy Spirit had been with him. God loved him. He had given himself to the disciples, and there was a unity among them. They were a family. And he prayed for the unity that he had with the Father to be reflected in their unity with one another and their unity with him so that there would be complete unity, complete harmony between them and the Father. That tends to be called reconciliation, by the way. And then in the latter portion of John, in the portion that we read today, I'm just going to leaf back to it. Jesus prays a prayer that is not only for his disciples, those who have followed him during his lifetime in ministry, but he prays for those who will believe through their ministry and mission. And he prays for us, that we will have that unity as well. Imagine that. Jesus was preparing to die. He was giving his disciples care and comfort for the loss of him as he died on the cross and was put in a grave. And Jesus, our Savior, as he was preparing to die for us, prayed for us, for unity with him and with the Father. Imagine that. That's powerful. That's powerful. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of suspect a few things. When I look at our world and I look at the young people especially and the kinds of things that we see coming from young people, violence that is coming from young people, it makes me ask this question. Have they in their lives been so disappointed, so hurt, maybe even injured, that they know only to trust themselves and are constantly in the process of testing to find out who might among the rest of humankind be trustworthy for them? I have a sister who looks upon me as though I am her mother and more than her mother, almost an angel of God on earth for her. And I tell her this constantly because she has been in that place of testing more than once. I tell her this constantly. tell her two things. I tell her to breathe. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the breath of life. Breathe. And I tell her that no matter how much I love her, and there's no reason I shouldn't love her, no matter how much I love her, there is one who will always love her better and more than I can ever possibly love her on this earth. And that is Jesus. And I think our young people need to hear that. They need to hear that there is one. Unfortunately, not one in a body, although he may turn up there every now and again, praise the Lord. There is one who will always love them more and better than I can possibly love them. They need to hear that, that there's hope in this world for them. I have never found written in any form, in any of the things I've ever read, a prayer to the Holy Spirit. But we need to do that. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit in our own lives. We sing it sometimes, come Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Use me. Come Holy Spirit, come. So we sing it, but we don't tend to pray it. We pray God the Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray, Jesus, be a friend to me. Keep me ever close to thee. Help me to be pure and true. Teach me what I ought to do. A children's prayer. But we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. And we need to do that. We need to pray to God for the Holy Spirit in our lives, for that Holy Spirit to be dwelling within us, and for the power of God to be working through the Holy Spirit in us and around us for the sake of all the world. Because the Holy Spirit, in whatever you may need, in whatever you may long for from the depths of your heart, the Holy Spirit is with you and will provide. So we praise the Lord in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen.